Hoover cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns, and the Greens at Lexington, soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high, and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and light. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise and bend before the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel.
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ this Sunday morning, November 24th, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. How about that? Time just marches on. We thank you for joining us. We've got a little bit of everything for you, a little bit of a, a little scriptural insight, a little review of Thanksgiving this morning. Figured that this would be the Sunday to talk about it and to share with you. And we hope it's an encouragement to you. We still start out with the pistol prayer. We hope you are prayed up. In our society today, I think a battle's been won, but not the war. And it seems like a little more common sense is coming in, and people are waking up, and that's good. But it's certainly not a time to shrink back. It is certainly not a time to just sit back and say, well, we're good. No, it's a time to press forward, but certainly a time to be prayed up, to make sure we're praying on, putting on the Lord, the full armor of God, that we're praying the Lord's Prayer, that we're praying for one another. We hope you'll make it a habit to join us on the Wednesday nights for the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And if you have a prayer request, by all means, send it to us. We'd be glad to pray for you. It should be part of who we are, what we do. It's as simple as that. It is. We're going to pray the pistol prayer. We have it on a Bible bookmarker. We'd be glad to send it to you, the pistol prayer and the rifle prayer that Pastor did so many years ago. We pray it because it's effective, and we see it coming true. I think that it is imperative that we pray. That we pray this, and we ask our God for these things. So I hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be. And thank you. Thank you for the victory. Well, like I said, this morning I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. It is amazing how they say the victors write the history, but so much has been lost about the true founding of this nation, about the true history of Thanksgiving. You know, it comes out of the, of course, the thanks and the feast days, the holidays that we read about in the Old Testament. And it truly is part of the founding of this nation. When you go through and you read about the, of course, if you go to the community college or the universities today, or even in the schools, if they mention it at all, I've seen this in the college history books just a couple of short years ago. How, yes, the pilgrims made it through a starving winter because of their strict military discipline. That was the one sentence about the pilgrims. About no mention of Thanksgiving, no mention of what they went through to found this nation. Because we have Antichrist today that write the history. It's as simple as that. So I think it's very important that we... You know, that we understand truth, that we have access to truth. Pastor put this little, I think we've got a picture of it, Jason. This Thanksgiving, the true story. There's a CD, I think it's CD number 717 that goes with it. And we have this little treatise. We have been sending them out by the dozens. People are ordering them, and that's good. 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 of them to pass them out. And but it really is, it's a very short summary. It's only a few pages. But it tells the true story of Thanksgiving, almost like Cliff Notes, if you've ever seen those. But it gives the true breakdown of who, what, when, and where. And, you know, so much has been lost, so much all we hear today, we hear so much about this multiculturalism and what it does is it comes in and supersedes and pushes the culture of the founding of America out of the way. And so we thought we'd just real quick, it's probably review for most of you, but it is a time, it is an opportunity for us to share with our friends and families that this is a truly American holiday, this holiday upcoming of Thanksgiving. And it is a true biblically based, Christian-based holiday. It is. There's more to it than, you know, football games and beer and lots of turkey. There really is. This picture, this next one, is, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's a wire pilgrim embarkation, the pilgrims embark leaving. It's a drawing of the prayer that was offered up for the pilgrims as they left England on the Mayflower. And the scripture that was used is this next one here, 2 Samuel 7:10. And as part of the prayers for these people, this is what was prayed over them and referenced in the scriptures. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly. Now, this was understood. See, just a few hundred years ago, 1600s, right at 400 years ago. See, they understood who they were. They understood that they were of the dispersion, that they were part of the 12 tribes that James addressed at the beginning of James. Greetings to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. They understood that's who they were. And so they understood that this new promised land, this new wilderness that they could go to, was in keeping with 2 Samuel 7:10, that it was a place appointed for God's people Israel. No, not the sandbox over there, but these Christians, these people who are called by His name. His name is Jesus Christ. That is God in the flesh. We'll finish up with 2 Chronicles 7:14 today, and that's what it says, right? If my people who are called by my name, that's who settled this nation, the basis coming from 2 Samuel 7:10. And then once they had their event over here, right, the trip on the Mayflower, They end up in a little different place. They end up, right? The first thing they do, they give praise to God. The first document they put together, the first civil government that they agree on, is called the Mayflower Document. I remember as a wee lad in elementary school learning about that. Not anymore. Oh, it's glossed over. Why? Because it says in it, just a little excerpt here and a couple graphics for you, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's what the founding of this nation started with. For the glory of God. Excuse me. Ooh, pardon me. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's the foundation. You've heard us put it out before because it's truth. It's truth that's been glossed over, that's been forgotten in this nation. And then we've got a graphic here. It's kind of, I don't know if I can read it. I don't think I can. But it's kind of a picture of it. The Mayflower Compact, it references all in the name of God, amen. And it goes on and on, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, and honor of our king and country. See, they were lawful people. They wanted to obey the law. And it goes on, then they're all signed underneath. Okay? And I don't know if you can really see it, but about two-thirds of them died that first winter that they were here. Because it was tough. There was no welfare system. It was, like we read about in the Song of Moses, a waste, howling wilderness. It really was. In our last newsletter that we got out, volume 11, we made some references, included a couple of pictures. This is one, if we can show that next one, Jason. And it's a black and white. It kind of shows the Mayflower Compact. This used to be in our history books. And it talks about a conception of freedom. A conception of freedom. And that was the thought. See, that was they understood that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, what's this got to do with Thanksgiving? You have to understand the concept, the base, the foundation of these people that came over. You know, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving up in Canada. They don't celebrate it down in Mexico. They have their own celebrations, their own things. But this nation is like a nation like no other, a nation formed in a day, a nation, a land set aside, as we read there in Samuel, for my people Israel. And the further away we get from that, the further, you know, We carry a book called The USA and Bible Prophecy, and it's a couple it's a couple of speeches that were given in the 1800s in Congress, where they understood it was no great oracle, it was no massive understanding that nobody it was just understood, it was speeches given that understood that this nation was founded as part of the dispersion. But it's been in the last 100-plus years that has been all but wiped away from the understanding. This next, I think this next picture, and again, was a color picture. I had it a little bit bigger, so maybe you could see. And it's a depiction of the pilgrims coming ashore, and you see what they're doing. They're on bended knee. You see there in the foreground. If you can see to the back, to the right, there's a husband carrying his wife. Many died right from the beginning. And then this next one is what we included in the last newsletter to let you know that. And I want to read this. Yeah, that one. I want to read that. Leave that up there on the screen, Jason. Because, again, this is from 1843, a reprint of from 1731. But it says, God's children are like stars that shine brightest in the darkest skies, like the chamomile, which the more it is trodden down, the faster it spreads and grows. The glories of Christianity in England are to be traced to the sufferings of confessors and martyrs in the 16th and 17th centuries. And it was under the influence of Christian principles imbibed at this very period that the Mayflower brought over the band of pilgrims to Plymouth. We should never forget that the prison, the scaffold, and the stake were stages in the march of civil and religious liberty which our forefathers had to travel in order that we might attain our present liberty. Before our children remove their religious connections, before they leave the old paths of God's Word, before they barter their birthright for a mess of porridge, of pottage, let us place in their hands this chronicle of the glorious days of the suffering churches, and let them know that they are the sons of the men of whom the world was not worthy, and whose sufferings for conscience' sake are here monumentally recorded. That's from John Overton Schules, August 12, 1843, a preface to the 1844 reprint of Neale's History of the Puritans from 1731. Now, buddy, you can get back there. There was no politically correct to be written of in 1730. They just put it down the way it was. And that's the way it was. That's the stock. Those are the people that founded this nation, our forefathers, God's people. We carry a book by Peter Marshall and David Manuel called The Light and the Glory. If you don't have this book, it does an excellent, it's not from an Anglo-Israel message, but you can see it's a Christian, not really a Christian outlook, but it just tells the Christian truth, the founding of this nation. If you don't have it, not that we're trying to hawk books, but you need to get it. The Light and the Glory, it does an excellent job. It goes over the same quotes. It has much more. Just like Pastor's little treatise that we have, Thanksgiving, The True Story, is a set of cliff notes. This book, The Light and the Glory, goes in depth. In reference and whatnot into the depths of the truth of the founding of this nation, the pilgrims that came over and gave us the first Thanksgiving. And of course, you know, rough couple years when they first came over. But you'll read about in this book and in Pastor's treatise how there was cleared land and no Indians where they landed, because the Indians had died off. A plague could come through and wipe them out. So see, there was a place prepared for his people. This next graphic we show is a color picture of, it's an artist's conception of the first Thanksgiving in America. And the little next graphic that we've got is pretty much that same thing. We included it again in the last Volume 11 newsletter. And I want to read this one. This is the quote from William Bradford, who is the governor of the colony. And he said, "To all you pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of corn, wheat, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and it made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish, and as much as his protection, he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, but spared us from pestilence and disease. He granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all you pilgrims and your wives and little ones do gather at the meeting house on the hill on Thursday," and then it goes on, "that we may give praise and glory to God." And that's where we get the first Thanksgiving from. Because it was a tough time. It was a starving winter. It was a dying winter. And the pilgrims prayed and fasted. Can you imagine today in the lifestyle that we live, and we think about the pilgrims and the things that they went through and how much closer to God they were and all that. They prayed and fasted. Because they were facing a drought. They were facing death. And there was nobody coming to save them. And they prayed and they fasted. And when you read about it again, I encourage you, get the Light and the Glory. It talks about it there. It talks about how such in the morning it was just clear and blue skies, and by the afternoon the clouds started rolling in, and the most gentle, nourishing rain, it talks about, fell and continued on and off and grew the crops that our forefathers needed to survive. And they declared from the governor on down to have a day of thanksgiving. This next little graphic is, a drawing from 1914. It's Jenny Augusta Brownscombe. It's called The First Thanksgiving at Plymouth. 1914 is when she wrote it. Okay, again, not very politically correct, but it's just that's how they looked at it. And you see there's nothing there. There's a table and chairs and one cabin in the background, and that's it, and they're thankful. I can only imagine the prayers that they prayed. I don't think I've got time to read all these of First Chronicles, but I want to read some of this. First Chronicles 16, starting in verse 8. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham, and His oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant." See, He tells us in there, don't forget. Why does He tell us that? Because He knew we would, and He warns us against it. Reading on, verse 18, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. When they were only a few in number, very few, and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, He permitted no man to oppress them. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, 'Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm.' Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and thanks to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place." We celebrate Thanksgiving in honor of our God, that He did save us, yes, from our sins, but you know, He allowed this nation to be built. It wasn't easy. It wasn't just that, the white man came over here and killed all the Indians. It just is not that at all. Now, that's what they're taught in school, but that revisionist history is wrong. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. We have have it every year, the Thanksgiving Truths Packet. We do our best here to get truth and information to you. And so you see it there on the screen, and it's the treaties, Thanksgiving, the true story, the light and the glory. And then there's three or four really good CDs that Pastor has done. Let me read them to you. You might not see them up there. CD 109 is called Thanksgiving in America. Number 435 is called Biblical and Historical Thoughts on Thanksgiving. And, of course, 717 is Thanksgiving, the True Story. And we have the book and the treaties and all those. I think we asked for $30 just to help cover the cost for all that. But it's truth in a time of lies. It really is. I think that the more that we can understand what Thanksgiving is about, understand how it's tied in directly with the founding of this nation, and it's unlike any other celebration in any other land, in any other nation. The freedoms and the liberty that even in this time that we're in, but compared to the other nations of the world, it is just astounding. And so, shouldn't we give thanks? Shouldn't we? So, again, today, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, you got a little time. If you haven't ordered this stuff, you know, some of it you can look at on the website. But it is imperative that we hold on to these truths for ourselves, for our children, for our posterity, for future generations, to make sure that we have these truths available for them. We're going to finish up in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've got a graphic for that, and it is as true now as it ever has been. If my people, who are called by my name, and again, that name is Christian today, if my people who are called Christians will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. This isn't talking to unbelievers. This isn't for the people in China. This is for his people here in this land of America, the Christians in this land that are called by his name. This is the only thing that will save America. It is. Well, looking at the clock, boy, we're out of time. Thank you again for joining us. Stay tuned. We've got a timeless pulpit message for you and a live message for you right after that. I know you're going to enjoy that. And again, we hope you have a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you gather with friends and family and give thanks to our Lord God and for all his blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Thanks again for joining us. God bless and happy Thanksgiving.
The pilgrims heard the sovereign words of God on the European shores, then rose to flee the persecuting powers that held England in her throes. In sailing ships they crossed the oceans wide to the land our God bestowed, to plant the seed of Christian liberty so that all the world would know. Their blessings in the wilderness increased with prosperity and health. But the ancient powers that ruled the earth grew lustfully jealous of her wealth, and sent the British armies to make war with his sons of liberty, who placed their faith in God and by his grace fought and won the victory and proclaimed themselves, "We the people, the United States of America, shall be faithful and establish rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny. We the people, the United States of America, our God reigns and proclaims liberty." Of conspiracy. prophecy unfolds in our nation's history. As the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land. And once again, Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves, we the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
The people of the United States of America,
our God reigns and proclaims liberty.
The people of the United States of America,
we the people of the United States of America.